Good, and I appreciate that, and keep up the good work. You have one more announcement, but you forgot? Amen. That's a. If you don't know what she's talking about, there's a book called, what's it called? Uninvited. My wife likes to read out loud, so I've heard some of it, and it's really good. And so she's taken upon herself to kind of do a little book study with some ladies on that. And if you'd like to be a part of that, then see her, and she'll make sure that she gets you a book. But it looks like the list over there was pretty good, and so it might be. And I think doing, you know, two separate smaller groups is a good idea. It'll give everybody an opportunity, hopefully, to take part in one of those groups. You know, maybe one to be during the day and one in the evening, or maybe one in just whatever. You ladies can work it out. I don't need to get in the middle of that, but it's a great study, and so I encourage you to take part in that. Praise the Lord. Palm Sunday. Today's Palm Sunday. Anybody know that? If you knew that, let me see your palm. See? Oh, yeah. Okay. A lot of churches give out little palm leaves and all that, and isn't that cute? And that's nice, but yeah, we don't do that here. Not that we wouldn't. It's just, yeah, they make a little cross out of it. It's pretty cool. Oh, you got one in your Bible from years gone by? Yeah. And there's nothing wrong with that, and I'm not, you know, busting any church that does that, but it's a reminder. It is a reminder. But I hope, and as we go through this message, you'll see, I hope, that everybody who has one of those little palm leaves today has their heart in the right place. As we're going through the song, you know, the worship time, and I'm going through the choruses or the words, there's just so much. I could preach these songs today. Your grace is enough. Come have your way among us. You call us into deeper love. He is holy. Seeking God, just pursuing. God pursuing us, but are we pursuing Him? God, I pray right now, the power of the Holy Spirit will flood this place even more so than you already have. Lord, that you would speak to our hearts and that you would change our lives. And as we look at your word today, Holy Spirit, let us hear what you are saying, that we might respond to you in a way that is pleasing to you. So God, bless each one as we look at your word this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. John chapter 12, verses 1 through 19. Starts out, it says, 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany where Lazarus was, who had been dead, whom he had raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of those who sat at the table with him. Then Mary took a pound of very costly oil, spikenard, anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the fragrance of the oil. But one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, who would betray him, said, "Why was this fragrant oil not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor?" This he said not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the money box, and he used to take what was put in it. Did you know that about Judas? Did you know that Judas was the treasurer for the 12, for the group? And that he would steal from the pot, from the kitty? Verse 7, but Jesus said, let her alone. She has kept this for the day of my burial. For the poor you have with you always, but me you do not always have. You do not have always. Now a great many of the Jews knew that he was there, and they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might also see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. But the chief priests plotted to put Lazarus to death also. How would you like to be Lazarus in this story? Here Jesus already raised you from the dead. Now they want to kill you again. What? You know, there's a message in that all by itself. If you know the story of Lazarus, Lazarus became sick and he died, and then Jesus comes along and 4 days after he's dead, opens up the grave, calls him forth, and he comes back to life. And because Jesus raised him from the dead, now all of a sudden he's got a target on his back. Isn't that kind of like our lives today, our Christian lives today? Those who truly repent and call upon the name of the Lord and become alive. You were once dead, but now you are alive in Christ. You were dead in your sins, but once you accepted his love for you and his death on the cross for your sins, you became alive with him. And now it seems like there's a target on your back, doesn't it? Yeah. Verse 11, because on account of him, many of the Jews went away and believed in Jesus. I hope that's our testimony as well. Because Jesus gave you life, I hope that many others will turn and follow Jesus because of you and because of me. I think what Paul recommended this morning, the challenge he gave us all, bring somebody to church. I don't think Lazarus had any trouble bringing people to lure to church once he became alive. It said just now that many of them came because of him. Our lives should be lived in such a way for Jesus Christ that others should be compelled to find Jesus Christ. The next day, a great multitude, verse 12, the next day a great multitude that had come to the feast when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him and cried out, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel. Then Jesus, when he had found a young donkey, sat on it, and as it is written, Fear not, daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt. His disciples did not understand these things at first, but when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things were written about him and that they had done these things to him. Therefore, the people who were with him when he called Lazarus out of his tomb and raised him from the dead bore witness. For this reason, the people also met him because they heard that he had done this sign, this miracle. The Pharisees therefore said among themselves, You see that you are accomplishing nothing. Look, the world has gone after him. Something I want to point out in all of this scripture is the idea that many had the right words, but they had the wrong heart. The first one was Judas, and we made mention of that. He had the right words. Shouldn't we sell all this and give it to the poor? Doesn't that seem right? Doesn't it seem like if we can help the poor, yeah, we should do that? He had the right words, but he had the wrong heart. And as we read there, it wasn't about helping the poor. Judas wasn't concerned about helping the poor. He was concerned about helping himself. Stealing from the money bag, the offering. Right words, wrong heart. It's good to be concerned with the poor. If you can help the poor in any way, do it. But do it because you love them. Do it because you want to help them. Do it because they are the least of these, as we've talked about over weeks past, where Jesus said, if you've done it to the least of these, my brethren, you've done it to me. And what he's talking about is when you help somebody who can't help themselves, you're ministering to Jesus Christ. So if you're going to use the right words, have the right heart. But there were others. They had the right words, but they had the wrong heart. All of those that were there simply because they saw Lazarus rise from the dead. You ever catch that part of the story? A lot of them were, the only reason we're there is because they either saw the miracle or they had heard about the miracle. And so here they are in the street proclaiming, "Hosanna, Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." The word Hosanna there means save us. That's what the word Hosanna means. It means save us. But these people, they had the right words, but they had the wrong heart. They weren't there because they wanted forgiveness of their sins. They were there because Jesus did miracles. They were saying the right words, but they were there for the wrong reason. They had the wrong heart. It even said that. Verse 9, "Now a great and many of the Jews knew that he was there, and they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might also see Lazarus, whom he raised from the dead." Miracle seekers. You know anybody like that? They want all the God they can get as long as there's miracles happening. Yes, brother. Could very well be. Miracles, even if you have a miracle in your own life, how many have had miracles in your own life? I've had a few. Do miracles take away your sins? No. It's nice. Well, it is a miracle that our sins are taken away. Thank you. I heard you. That's a miracle in itself. But how many of those people that Jesus did miracles for, you think of the 10 blind guy or the 10 lepers. He healed them all. Only one of them gave him thanks. How many of the people that Jesus did miracles for turned and followed him? Not because he did a miracle, but because he takes away their sin. Right words, wrong heart. How many know people, and I hope it's not you or me, how many know people have a lot of religious talk? They know the right things to say. They've picked up on the lingo. Christianese, they call it, right? Oh, hallelujah, brother. And by the way, I praise God that we're allowed to call each other brothers and sisters, because my name remembrance thing just doesn't work. And so you're all brothers and sisters. It's a marvelous thing. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I'll pray for you. A lot of religious talk. Wrong heart. How do you know when somebody has the right heart? You know, don't you? You can tell when somebody has the right heart. When you're in the presence of somebody who has the right talk and the wrong heart, you just get this little check in you sometimes, don't you? It's like, well, I just can't put my finger on it, but there's just something not right here. But when you're in the presence of somebody who has the right words and the right heart, oh, what a blessing that is. And so here they are. Here, let me give you another example. Mark chapter 11, verses 8 through 10. It says, "Many spread their clothes on the road, and others cut down leafy branches." This is talking about the same story. "From the trees and spread them on the road. Then those who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the kingdom of our father David that comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Now, you might not recognize what's going on here, but they're saying the right words, but they had the wrong heart. And the reason why you might not recognize it, you have to understand a little bit about the Jewish history and what was taking place in the world at this time, in their world at this time. They were being ruled and governed by Rome. And they didn't like that. And they thought that Jesus was coming in order that he would restart the kingdom of David, and that the Jewish nation would become a nation, and he would be the king, and he would put down and push out the Romans. They didn't have any idea that the reason why he was coming to Jerusalem was so that he could die for their sins and be crucified on a cross and suffer for them. The kingdom that he was always talking about had nothing to do with this world. And so they had the right words, but they had the wrong heart, in that many weren't concerned about the oppression of sin in their lives, but they were concerned about the oppression from the worldly government that they were under. Now, that may seem like a worthy cause. We don't like it when our government does stuff that we don't like, right? And we live in New York State. I think we live in one of the most governmental oppressed states there is in the nation. Preach it, brother, right? But Jesus didn't come to change the governments of this world. He came to change our sinful lives. And so again, here's another group. They had the right words, but the wrong heart. Part of the message. And you know what? You can use this in your challenge if the Spirit leads you as you're trying to invite people to church. Include in your message when they say, why do I need to go to church? Because Jesus loves you enough. He died for your sins and he wants to save you. Let them know what it's about. If you say, oh, well, you know what? Because Jesus is going to make your worldly life better. Wrong answer. Matter of fact, if you read your Bible, you'll find out that becoming a Christian might not be the most comfortable thing you've ever done when it comes to the way the world treats you and the persecution that you might receive and the trials that you're going to endure. In this world, you will have, what's the word? Tribulation. Because it's not about this world. And when you talk to these that you're going to invite, if you take up this challenge, don't make it about the miracle. Well, if you come, God will do miracles in your life. Well, I hope he does. But the reason that we need to seek Jesus is for salvation. Deliverance from sin. Transform lives. Lives being transformed from somebody who lives by your own thinking and your own sinful nature into somebody who lives by Jesus' thinking and by his righteous nature. How does that happen? Well, first of all, you believe in him. And second of all, you start reading his word and you start praying. You start hanging out with other believers and you learn what God's will is you learn his character and his will. And then you start to think the way that he starts to think. And then you start to act the way that he thinks. And when your actions line up with God's will and God's plan and God's purpose, your life changes. But remember, it's always about salvation from our sin. The death penalty he paid for us on the cross. I wrote a little for my Facebook followers. I put a little note on there the other day. Jesus bought our ticket to heaven, your ticket to paradise on the cross of death. You can pick it up at the altar of repentance. Repentance is a big part of coming to Christ. Without repentance, you still have the sin in your life. If you still have the sin in your life, you can have all the miracles in the world you want. You can have the best government, and believe me, we do live under the best government in the world, in my opinion. You can have all the riches that Judas wanted, and none of it makes one lick of difference in your life if you haven't repented of your sin. And if you don't understand the reason why Jesus did the things that he did, the reason why he came in on that donkey's colt, the reason why he went to Jerusalem to begin with. Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Those are good words, but have the right heart when you say them. So let's do a little recap. Judas followed Jesus for personal gain. Some followed Jesus for the miracles, and still others followed him for better worldly lives. That's what we learned from these scriptures this morning. And they all said the right words, but they all had the wrong heart. How do I know that? Because at the end of the week, all of these who followed Jesus for all of these reasons were responsible for him dying on the cross. Think about that for a moment. They all called for his crucifixion. And Pilate says, well, who should I give you, Barabbas or Jesus? And they said, give us Barabbas and crucify Jesus. Why? Because he didn't give me the riches. Why? Because the worldly government still stinks. Why? Because he didn't do any miracles for me. Crucify him. You know who didn't want him crucified? The people who loved him. The people who loved him. They couldn't hear him. Jesus told them what had to take place, and they didn't want to hear him. When he told Peter that he was going to be crucified and died, Peter said, no, no way, that ain't going to happen. And Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. His right-hand man, Peter, get behind me, Satan. Why? Because Peter didn't understand the reason why Jesus was there at that time. Had the right words, wrong heart. In that case, Peter had the right heart, just the wrong words. John the Baptist got it right. Look at John chapter 1, verse 29 says, the next day John saw Jesus coming. John the Baptist is down in the river baptizing people. He sees Jesus coming. And what's he say? The moment he sees Jesus, he says, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He didn't say, behold the Lamb of God who's going to do all kinds of miracles. He didn't say, behold the Lamb of God who's going to make you all rich. And he didn't say, behold the Lamb of God who's going to come and take over this world that we live on right now and everybody's going to live in peace. He didn't say that. John the Baptist knew what it was all about. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. In that alone, you can look and you can see that John wasn't looking for personal gain. And John wasn't looking for miracles. And John wasn't looking for a better earthly or worldly life. John was looking for a Savior who takes away the sins of the world. He had the right words and he had the right heart. So my question is, where's our hearts today? We just sang a bunch of songs. I hope you enjoyed them. They weren't for you. Whether you enjoyed them or not, it really doesn't matter. But I hope you enjoyed singing them. But if you did sing them and if you did mouth those words, I hope your heart was right. I hope you sang them because you're so grateful that God died for you, that Jesus gave his life for you. And did you lift him up in praise, not because he made you rich, not because he did a miracle, but for one reason and one reason only, because he died for your sin. Did you sing? Did you have the right words? But did you have the right heart in it? Why do we seek Jesus Christ? Hopefully it's not for anything in this world. Because you know what? Nothing in this world is guaranteed us. You're not guaranteed to be rich. You're not guaranteed to live in a great country under great government. You're not guaranteed to have a miracle. Unless you turn your life over to Jesus Christ, you'll receive that miracle of life after death. Sins forgiven. And I want you to understand something about God's peace. You know, there is a portion of Scripture where God, where Jesus said, I didn't come to bring peace to the earth, but diversity. And we're like, holy cow. But he did promise his disciples, those that believed in him, that he would send a comforter and that they would have peace. And so if you've been living the Christian life and you don't have his peace in the midst of all the chaos, let me see your hand if you got chaos in your life. Yeah. Oh, some have. I see two hands. Some have got both up. Let me see your hands again if you got a lot of chaos, but Jesus Christ has given you some peace. Thank you, Jesus. Why do I ask those questions? Because I want to challenge you. If you don't have the peace of God in your life in the midst of your chaos, what are you seeking him for? Are you seeking the God for his blessings, or are you seeking the God of the blessings? I was going to preach a message a few weeks ago. I haven't yet, and I don't know if I'm going to, but maybe I will see what the Spirit of God does. But the idea that God's love is unconditional. He loves you no matter what. Doesn't matter where you've been, what you've done, who you are. Does not matter. He loves you. But I'm pretty sure most of his promises are conditional. You don't receive everlasting life if you don't repent of your sin. There's a condition. You don't receive long days on the earth if you don't honor your mother and father. There's a condition. You don't necessarily receive all of your provisions met for you if you don't tithe. There's conditions. There's conditions on God's promises, but not on his love. And people get that confused. People think that, well, because I came to Jesus, I'm going to get all these promises. No, you're not. You came to Jesus, you're going to get everlasting life. That's what he promised you. The rest of this stuff, and you know what? You may tithe all you. I'm not going to say that I trust God that your needs will be met, but I'm not telling you you're going to get rich if you tithe. Jesus said, give us this day. He said, pray like this. Give us this day our daily bread, which means what? I got enough for today. Anybody got enough for today? Praise God, you've received his blessing on your life today. There are many people in the world today that do not have enough for today. There's people who are going to die today because they don't have enough. Well, Lord, I wanted to be rich. You are rich. You live in America. You're rich. I've seen what the world is like out there. The vast majority of this world doesn't even come close. The fact that you got clothes on your back and shoes on your feet is a miracle. You're rich. Maybe you got a little hunger in your belly, but I'll guarantee you everyone in this place has eaten within the last week because you're rich. But those aren't the riches that God wants us to be concerned with today. He wants us to have our hearts in the right place concerning him. And it's not about the riches or the miracles or the well-living under this wonderful government that he's given us. It's all about Jesus Christ and Him crucified for our sin. And so as we go throughout this coming week, you know, next week is Easter. We're going to be celebrating Easter. Well, before Easter is Good Friday. Good Friday being the day Jesus was crucified. I saw a little cartoon in the you know, the BC cartoon in the paper? The one caveman asked the other caveman, well, if Jesus was crucified on Good Friday, why is it called Good Friday? And the other one says, when he died, were your sins forgiven? Yeah. Well, that's good. Thank you, Jesus. And so next week, we're going to celebrate His resurrection. You can call it Resurrection Sunday. You can call it Easter Sunday, whatever it is. But understand this. It's not about filling your Easter basket. It's about Jesus Christ forgiving us of our sins, giving us everlasting life. So think about that as you're inviting people to church next week. We want people's souls to be saved. I'm so grateful that God saved me. What's the Bible say? Don't hide your light under a bushel, right? Don't bury your treasure in the sand or in the dirt. But take what God has given you and spread it. Don't be somebody who follows Jesus and draws people to Jesus just because there's miracles and just because there's money involved and just because He can change your, you know, living status on this earth. But be somebody who has the right words with the right heart. Amen? Amen. Stand with me this morning. Yes, sir. The missions. Thank you, brother. Thank you.
A lot of right here, there isn't anybody needing anything. I mean, prayers, yes. I mean, they're sick and stuff. But probably most of us got more than one pair of shoes. The mission, where does money go? They got rags.
Amen.
Nothing. They don't have fresh water.
You know,
and that's a blessing.
I appreciate what Paul's talking about here. Giving to missions.
Fresh water.
Giving to missions is doing exactly what God has called us to do. Missions is about, you know, yes, we do give, you know, Doug gives out water supply and there's missions that go to Honduras and they pour concrete floors and they do humanitarian aid and those kinds of things. But when you give to mission, the primary goal of giving to missions is to tell other people about Jesus Christ. That's what it's about. Again, the right words, the right deeds, with the right heart. It's not about necessarily giving them a drink of water, but it's about giving them everlasting life.
Living water.
Living water. Amen. And so we're going to receive a missions offering this morning. Kylie, you want to play something for me? Could you do that? How many appreciate Kylie? Yeah. I do. You pick whatever. We're going to give. But I really want you to look in your hearts today. What is it that you want from Jesus? Why are you here? Because I love Him. But check your heart. Is it about personal gain? Is it about miracles? Is it about a better worldly or earthly life? Or is it about Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, who takes away the sins of the world? What's it about for you? And I'll give you an opportunity to repent. Repentance is very important. If you are coming to Jesus or have been coming to church or trying to be religious for any other reason than to worship the one who died for you, today would be a good day to repent. Say, God, I'm sorry. I had it all mixed up. I was wrong. This is about the promise of everlasting life because of the forgiveness of sins when we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Nothing else. And so as Kylie begins to play, Dan, could you... This is for missions. This money will go to the world to tell people about Jesus. And so that's why we take on Mission Sunday, the second Sunday of each month, we take this time to specifically give to missions. Because we specifically want to be a part of spreading the gospel. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your love for us and for your love for every soul on this world. And I pray that as we give to missions, Lord, that this just wouldn't be a right words with wrong heart type of thing, but this would be the right words, the right deeds, with the right heart in order that somebody can be saved. Lord, bless this offering now as we give, and bless the people of the world that we are able to reach out to through these gifts of love. Bless it in Jesus' name. Amen. Go ahead. Thank you, God.
What have I in this life but the love in your eyes? This empty world will one day fade, and only your truth will remain. Jesus, in you, as the heavens hold the skies, it's your hand that holds my life, and your love will lead me on when all else is gone.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus, that you've got my life in your hands. And so, Lord, I will trust you. Lord, help me to have the right words with the right heart. Not to make it about personal gain or miracles or any other thing, Lord God, but you and your love for me as you died for my sins on that cross. May I worship you and serve you with the right heart. Bless each one today. As we are dismissed, in Jesus' name, amen. God bless you all. We'll be back here tonight at 6 o'clock. Still working on that discipleship study program with Doreen from the Family Hope Center. God bless you all. Take the challenge and bring somebody to church with you next week. Have a great day.